Cardinal DiNardo, I present to you the, I guess the class, but the candidates for confirmation. Let's give them all a round of applause.
So, Father Mario, that means you think they should be confirmed, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's all that I wanted to hear from the pastor. That's good. You and the staff, it's beautiful. Today is Pi Sunday. Did you ever see that? Oh, by the way, you can sit down for young people. It's Pi Sunday, you know. Did you see that on the news? For those of you who know mathematics, you know the circumference and the diameter of a circle mathematically is treated 3.14. That's called pi. I don't know how many of you. It's not the cake or pie, that kind of thing. But there's another reason in a few minutes why I want you to hold the number 314 together, okay? All right. Sisters and brothers, the first reading, the end of the second book of Chronicles. The book of Chronicles, two big books in the Old Testament, a kind of history of sorts of the Jewish kings, nobles, princes, people of Jerusalem, in an extended period of time. Some parts of the books of Chronicles are sterling. A couple sections of Chronicles are the most boring thing you'd ever want to read. But what's significant? These are chroniclers. What's a chronicler in ancient time? Someone who puts on papyrus, or is that what the exploits of the king is? What are the great deeds of the princes, of the priests, and the people of the city of Jerusalem? That's what chronicles are for. They try to hype. At the end of the second book of Chronicles, it says something about being an inspired text, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear the first reading today? What does the author say? They had it coming. Right? Isn't that it? They are rotten to the core. The people of Judah and Jerusalem, no matter how many prophets the Lord sent them, they were terrible, unbelieving, faithless. Blech. So what happened? Well, they went into exile in Babylon. And were there, if we believe, the prophecy of Jeremiah for almost 70 years or more. And in fact, it was something around that amount of time. That's why we have the psalm today. Did you hear that psalm? Let my tongue be silenced. Let my tongue cling to my jaws. If I ever forget the city of Jerusalem, now destroyed. We sing that psalm once every 3 years today. We do it after we've heard the lament over what happened to the city of Jerusalem and the people of Judah because they weren't faithful to the covenant. The last lines today in the first reading say what? But God is faithful. And so when Cyrus came in and a new group, Persians, he said, you go back to your own country. Go back to your place. You're freed. Go back. God allows Israel to be reconstructed. The last verses of the book of Chronicles today are exactly the first verses of the book of Esdras and Nehemiah, which talk about the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Now, why am I spending time on that? Because the Old Testament is clear. God expects much from Israel, and they're horrible. But God never abandons Israel. God is faithful. And God uses strange ways in history to bring about his plan. And his plan, as Jeremiah already said, I'm one day going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. The center of the person in Jewish thinking is the heart. It's rotten to the core. As Ezekiel says, you've got hearts of stone. All these prophets said that. And yet, God wants to give us a new heart. 600 or 700 years later, Jesus of Nazareth comes to Israel, and he promises a new heart, and he will give it. He will give the new heart and a new spirit. By the way, candidates, that new spirit started for you in baptism and is completed today. I always come into St. Cyril's Church. I can't believe it. The font is empty. What a mute presence your baptismal font is right now. It's incredible. It's a major sign. The mute presence of an empty font that we hope soon will be filled in some way. For the confirmation students, that's the sign where you began. Today's the sign where you reach completion. And that leads me to the gospel passage today. Sisters and brothers, have you ever seen those billboards along the road in some Texas highways that says on it, John 3:14? I don't know how many of you have ever seen that. I've seen it. I've seen it a lot. Sometimes that's all they'll say is John 3:14. Some days they'll put the text with it too. What is John 3:14? Not pie, huh? Right? John 3:14 is what the deacon read today in the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that all who believe in him might have life, come to eternal life through him. For many Christians, that's the central line of all Christianity. I certainly think it's a beautiful and one of the central lines, but I don't know if I would just put John 3:14 as the only text I want my people to know. I won't be unhappy if you know that text, by the way. But it's not the only one, but it's an important one. God so loves the world that when the world is not faithful, God is still faithful. He sends his son. And what does John's gospel say about Jesus and the new life he gives? That he's giving us a new birth of water and the Holy Spirit. In the earliest days of the church, baptismal fonts took two shapes. They were either wombs or tombs. Following John's gospel, they see baptism as a new birth, which you've all experienced 15, 16, 17 years ago. That's one way to talk about baptism. It's a new birth. The other way is to say it's a death. It's a death to sin and a rising to new life. Both signs are beautiful. Both signs are necessary. We need John 3:14 and Romans 6:3. We need both dimensions of baptism, and both of them lead us to the Spirit who transforms our hearts, beginning in baptism, and to our young people today, transforms them even more intensely in the sacrament of confirmation. Today you will come forward. The sign of baptism is water. The sign in confirmation is chrism, olive oil pouring over, highly scented, perfumed olive oil, chrism. Chrism comes from the root word Christ. Christ in its root means what? The anointed one. Jesus is the big A. Today, friends, you're going to become the little A anointed ones, right? Literally, I'm putting that chrism right in the middle of your forehead. And I'm going to say, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And of course, each one of you will answer, amen. That's your big hashtag line today, okay? Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you and with your spirit. And you're confirmed. And your baptism is complete. And you're sent on mission. Today you're sent on mission. And the mission is given in the prayer I'll say right before I confirm you. The prayer I like to ask questions about, because the prayer contains the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'd love to ask to see how many you know. But I said I wouldn't do that today, so I'm not. The seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord means not that you're afraid of God. Remember, both readings today say, however rotten Israel was, And however rotten the world is, God loves the world. God loves human beings. That's why he sent his son. Fear of the Lord means God is awesome. Awesome. I know you think that about concerts, but imagine, they're nothing in comparison to God's love. Awesome. That's fear of the Lord. And that directs wisdom, understanding, counsel, and fortitude for you to be good witnesses of Jesus in the world. How that will be, I don't know for sure. But I know you'll be good witnesses. And I know you'll start at St. Cyril's and your parish community here and reach out. Sponsors, you're with our young people today. You'll put your right hand on their shoulder when they come forward to be confirmed. I hope you dig your right hand into their shoulder. They selected you, right? From today on, your invisible right hand is always on their shoulder. There's never a day goes by that you don't pray for them by name. They may think nobody cares that they practice their faith. They may even think that themselves and say it out loud. But we can always say, no, you're wrong. We know at least one person that cares about that faith of yours. And that's your confirmation sponsor, because there's not a day goes by that they don't remember you by name. Jesus calls people by name. The Holy Spirit will call you by name in confirmation today. And your sponsor remembers you by name. What a beautiful sacrament. Some will say, Jesus, well, who will ever see the chrism? It melts into my forehead in 2 hours. Jesus will always see the chrism, right? Right? He always will see it. Because once he's crucified and risen, no space or time has any meaning to Jesus. Jesus is beyond space and time and in all space and time. That's why 2 days after he promised the Holy Spirit on Holy Thursday night at the Last Supper with his close friends, the next day he was crucified, lifted up. They all ran away. Easter Sunday night, they're scared to death. They're in the upper room again. Jesus walks right through closed doors because space and time don't mean anything to him. And the first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be with you." He didn't say, "Where were you on Friday?" Well, thank God. No, Jesus loves us. His crucifixion is his love poured out. The Father weeps at the death of his Son, but he weeps for human beings that they will come close to him. So today, you're going to be confirmed. God love you all. I hope you have a great confirmation day and weeks ahead. And even though this has been a difficult time, use the pandemic as a source of witness. It's 9:35. I've preached for 10 minutes. I have to quit now. It's just what it is. But we are going to continue with the sacrament of confirmation. And we have our young people to stand up now and renew their baptismal promises.